Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the JAKKS Group Full Year 2018 Financial Results Conference Call. The call will be chaired by JAKKS Chairman and Founder, Mr. Mario Moretti Polegato, the CEO, Matteo Moscardini, and the CFO, Mr. Livio Libralesso. Mr. Moretti Polegato will make a brief introduction, excuse me, in Italian, and the translation will immediately follow. Please go ahead, sir.
Buon pomeriggio a tutti. Nel 2018 il nostro settore ha vissuto un anno di importantissime sfide, a fronte delle quali JAKKS ha comunque dimostrato il valore del suo brand e il grande potenziale che può esprimere. A fronte appunto di queste grandi evoluzioni sistemiche, JAKKS ha avviato, con il nuovo piano strategico 2019-2021, un percorso di profonda revisione strategica, organizzativa e distributiva, anche grazie all'inserimento di nuove importanti figure manageriali di elevata professionalità provenienti dalle migliori aziende del settore. Questo sia nelle aree più rilevanti di business che nei mercati più strategici, al fine di dotare JAKKS di un modello operativo davvero client-centric ed omni-channel, sempre più snello, che consenta di rispondere in modo veloce ed efficiente alle rinnovate esigenze dei consumatori e ai cambiamenti repentini dei mercati. L'obiettivo è quello di far ritornare a crescere in maniera importante la rilevanza del brand JAKKS, allargando la target audience anche a nuove fasce di clienti, ad oggi non ancora attratte dal nostro messaggio, ed offrendo a tutti una completa coerenza nel percepito del marchio stesso e nella esperienza d'acquisto, indipendentemente dal canale scelto. Gli ultimi mesi del 2018 hanno evidenziato dei primi riscontri positivi in relazione a quanto tracciato nel piano strategico. Sono in leggero miglioramento le vendite del canale retail, grazie soprattutto alla online, in gestione diretta dal luglio 2018, ed una crescita di interesse mediatico rispetto al nostro brand, tanto sui media tradizionali quanto sulle principali social network, anche grazie a mirati investimenti di marketing, progetto JAKKS Dragon in Formula E e coinvolgimento di key influence nel raccontare i valori del marchio. Le sfide sono sicuramente importanti, ma la solidità del gruppo e le evoluzioni intraprese ci danno ancora più convinzione e determinazione nel perseguire il raggiungimento di obiettivi strategici più consoni al nostro brand, così come fissati dal piano strategico 2019-2021.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon to everyone. In 2018, our industry faced yet another year of incredibly important challenges. Despite these difficult circumstances, JAKKS nonetheless managed to demonstrate the value and the great potential of its brand. Faced with these significant developments in the system in which it operates, JAKKS has launched an in-depth strategic, organizational, and distribution review process with its 2019 to 2021 strategic business plan. Also, thanks to hiring of the new important managers with a high degree of professionalism coming from some of the best companies in the industry, in the most significant areas, and in the most strategic markets, this process aims at providing JAKKS with a truly client-centric and omni-channel operating model that is increasingly leaner, allowing the group to respond quickly and effectively to new customer requirements and sudden changes in the markets. The aim is to make the relevance and desirability of the JAKKS brand significantly grow again, expanding the target audience to also include new types of customers who, as of today, are not yet attracted by our message, and offering everyone complete coherence in terms of how they see the brand and their buying experience, regardless of the channel they choose. The last months of 2018 recorded the first positive results of the actions described in the strategic business plan. Retail channel sales are improving slightly, mainly thanks to e-commerce performance. directly managed since July 2018, and there is an increasingly media interest in our brand in terms of both traditional media and the main social networks. This is thanks also to targeted marketing investments. JAYOC's Dragon Formula E project and involvement of key influencers to talk about the brand's values. The group undoubtedly faces some important challenges, but its solidity and the developments implemented makes us even more convinced and determined to pursue strategic objectives that are more in line with our brand, as stated by the 2019 to the 2021 strategic business plan. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Matteo Mascazzini. Welcome to the comments about the 2018 results. You should have received a presentation, so we'll start commenting that presentation. It's going to be myself and our CEO, Mr. Libralesso. If we focus on page two, the total sales for the year were 827 million. It's basically minus 6.5% compared to the previous year and minus 5.5% at constant currency. This is basically very much in line with what we discussed back in November. The key elements that we'll comment much more in details in the following pages are, of course, the continuous improvement in the network, the continuous rationalization of the same, which basically meant 80 net closures through the year. Considering our sales, we discussed at length in the past our intention to focus on key quality partners, and having as much as possible the cleanest, safest, and most effective portfolio of orders, focusing on profitability and the quality of the exposure of our brands. We'll have to discuss again the particularly peculiar, so to speak, weather conditions in 2018 that basically meant we started both seasons in spring, summer, and fall, winter, with an important delay of between 4 to 6 weeks impacting the rest of the seasons. What we're really glad to report is Q4 was actually better than the rest of the year. We saw quite an important improvement. We ended the quarter with a 2% improvement in sales overall compared to last year, and that was driven strongly by the like-for-like of our DOS stores. A score of plus 3.4%, which was largely also fueled by the performance of our e-commerce that our president just mentioned. We took over directly in July, and in Q4 scored a plus 22% vis-à-vis last year. In terms of profitability, we ended with an EBITDA of 48.2 million. That's approximately 5.8% of sales. That is probably a bit better than what most of you anticipated and what we discussed as a guidance back in November. That meant we had an EBIT of approximately 5 million. Both the results after certain critical special items, non-recurring items, but total approximately 10 million. So we have a total net result of minus 5.3 million. If we adjust the net result for the 10 million we mentioned before of non-recurring extraordinary items, we would have had a positive 2 million result after taxes. Another quite important result, which we're quite pleased about, is the net financial position. We are basically closing the year with a positive net financial position at plus 2.3 million. It was minus 5.4 in 2017. And basically building on the strong cash position and the solidity of a JAYOC group that our president mentioned during his introduction, we are proposing to keep a dividend of 2.5 euro cents per share, which total approximately 6.5 million down compared to last year by approximately 10 million. A very important, as you know, we presented in November a strategic plan to cover 2019-2021. and it's very critical that we secure the right management, the existing one, which we profoundly change, as our president mentioned, during 2018, and to attract the best talent. So we are proposing, it was proposed to our board of directors and approved, an LTI incentive plan based on a stock grant, which is a new introduction for Geox, and that I think will secure us the best management and the loyalty of the current very talented team. On page 3, we can go a bit more in depth through the channels. If we look at wholesale, we see a decrease of 7.8%, 6.6% at constant currency, which means there's a 1.2% impact due to simply the fluctuation of exchange rates. If we look at what happened, I guess we already discussed this all through the year. We did the selective cancellation annulments of orders, and we decided to take a most prudent approach to clients that did not have a proper profile, either from a financial solidity point of view or the possibility of portraying and representing the Geox brand in the most appropriate way. So we're selecting only the best partners going forward, assuring again the cleanest possible order portfolio. We also had geopolitical issues, some critical markets we could no longer service, so we had to basically recon that, and that was certainly hurtful through 2018 and may still have some impact in 2019. The very delayed start of the two seasons, as we mentioned before, impacted not only retail, but impacted also our wholesale partners, hence a season that starts 4 to 6 weeks later calls for less reorder toward the end of the season, and that had an impact as well. If you remember, in Q1, we discussed about the levels of stocks of old season that were lower at the end of 2017, and that meant for 2018 we sold less old stock season to off-price retailers. At the end of November, we announced to you we had the spring-summer 19 preliminary order collection, and that was negative compared to the year before because of the reason we said above, and the will of Geox to no longer proceed with certain practices of the past in terms of offering upfront discounts to certain clients. So we had a lower order collection, and that, of course, through the first deliveries of spring-summer 19 impacting Q4, we had to basically recon that, and that the approximately 10% impact. In terms of franchising, if you remember, we discussed all through the year about the lowering of the franchising network. We basically closed net 55 stores. So we said originally we were expecting a 20% decrease in sales compared to last year, and this is basically what we scored in the end. That number we have now, a minus 19% at current currencies. Basically, if you remember, it was minus 25, minus 27%. So through the year, as we mentioned many times, we count a more comparable perimeter, and toward the end of the year, we got to basically where our forecast was. Speaking about the like-for-like, the underlying like-for-like of franchising was not so different, slightly less, slightly more negative than the US. The US themselves, as you can see, in constant currency, are basically completely flat, at plus 0.1%. The underlying like-for-like is minus 2.3%, suffering basically mostly impacted by Q1 and Q3 with the very negative months of March and September impacting, giving the largest share of a negative impact, while, as we mentioned on the previous slide, Q4 was positive and closed at plus 3.4%. Hence, we have a little bit have a positive effect. In terms of the share by channel, you can see nothing dramatically changes, only franchising shrinks its shares, basically giving it up to the DOS by 2 percentage points. And now we have an almost perfect split between DOS and wholesale, being worth respectively 43% and 45%, while franchising is closing down to 12%. If we zoom on our U.S. performances on page 4, we see basically the history of the entire year by quarter. As you can see, we started the year, as you know, like negatively through basically the fault of the rather insane result of March. So we had a minus 8.9% in Q1. We substantially improved in Q2, and then in Q3 we were still improving, and then we ran into a similar bump of March in September. With March was basically snowing in most of Europe, and in September we had plus 30 degrees Celsius in most of Europe until the first days of October. So we slowed down a bit again, and then, as you can see, we sharply improved in Q4, and in the entire second semester we scored a positive plus 11.5%. If I have to comment further, I think in the past, in the last 6 months of the year, we had 5 positive months and just September was negative. That was enough to basically have the entire performance through the year being flat. The importance of the now directly owned and directly run e-commerce in Europe is certainly very critical. We had in the first semester of the year, in which was not run by directly by us, a low single-digit increase, and in the second half of the year after the takeover, we have a very strong double-digit increase, and that's certainly a very telling sign and a very reassuring sign for us since we are betting so much in the digital evolution of our business. In terms of the regions, there's not really much to say. Italy and Europe have the same kind of dynamic, in which the like-for-like was substantially in line with each other. We have a positive like-for-like in NORAM, even though we had some closures, we had a negative perimeter effect and a positive like-for-like in the rest of the world as well. If you look at page 5, zooming again by region, it's basically what we just said. In the entire net sales, Italy and Europe are very similar to each other in trend. In Europe and in Italy, we also had a shrinking of a net perimeter. We had 18 net closures in Italy and 25 in Europe outside of Italy. And as we said before, the rebasing of the calendar with the unseasonal weather at the beginning of the season gave the most impact. The same thing in NORAM. We had the 5 net closures on a more limited network, so we had a negative perimeter. And in the case of NORAM, we also had to kind of reset and restart a bit the wholesale distribution, particularly in the U.S., to ensure the consistency we mentioned before in the choice of partners, in the choice of a representation of the brand. In the rest of the world, mostly in Asia-Pacific, the like-for-like and the wholesale were slightly positive, and managed to counter partially in constant currency, actually managed to bring the rest of the world to a slight positive increase, that's plus 0.9% in constant currency, despite we closed, the net closures were 30 doors. If you look at the breakdown by region, again, it's still the same telling story about NORAM in particular, but also the rest of the world and APAC being slightly underrepresented compared to peers and competitors and also luxury industry, so we know where the challenge lies in the years ahead. If we move on to have a quick look at the distribution by product category on page 6, as you can see, we are quite pleased that we're up into apparel, particularly in fall winter. In fall winter, we had, for example, in Q4, we had a double-digit growth in the apparel. And I think this is really a very good sign because we truly revamped the offerings in our collection. They're much more fashionable, rich in content, better in design, and clients are really responding to that in our retail network. As a matter of fact, the apparel performed positively all through the year in our retail network, and slightly instead, as you can see, slightly negatively, mostly because of the impact of the spring-summer season overall. And this is absolutely interesting for us going into the fall/winter 2019 selling season for our sale. As you can see, apparel is back to being 10% and footwear 19%. In previous months, in previous presentation, it has shrunk to approximately 9% in the first part of the year. In terms of page seven, in terms of network evolution, is what we mentioned before, so no reason to spend much time here. As you can see, we have a minus 80 in terms of the net openings. We have 57 openings and 137 closures. A lot of the closures happening in the rest of the world as well, in cleaning up some distribution network, but also in Italy and Europe. So minus 18 in Italy, minus 25 in Europe, and minus 32 in the rest of the world, and the small rationalization of North America at minus 5 net openings. We're still managing directly or indirectly more than 1,000 geo shops worldwide, so 1,015 down from 1,095 as of the end of December 2017. An important thing to notice about the store is the fact that we continued our effort in revamping our network, bringing it in line with a new concept, the X store concept. We had a bit more than 30 stores at the end of last year, and we either open a new concept stores or revamp existing stores to the new concept. We did it in approximately 100 different locations. So, we, as you know, we have the goal of having an entirely X store concept network by the end of 2021. And I think this is a move in the right direction. It means basically we revamp just one store every 3 days, which is a very interesting path. One thing on page eight we wanted to mention, and this is truly critical for us to fuel the growth for the years to come for the Geox brand. We wanted to gain more media exposure that could speak to our existing client bases, but also could speak to a newer demographics in our client base that we don't really reach, as our president mentioned before, but still wasn't fully appreciating our message. So in upgrading our image, in upgrading our language, in upgrading our product, in upgrading our engagement and clienteling, we have to make sure we properly speak through the right channels to the right clients. So on the right side, you see the print editorials, which for sure are interesting to part of our existing clientele basis. As you can see, we almost doubled the editorial pages through 2018, plus 80%, plus 50% the full pages of editorials in key magazine, and we also got a 65% increase in the presence of our product on cover pages. And this is certainly a very interesting result, particularly since we achieved it on one side in fashion magazine. We had appearances in the likes of Vogue, and on the other side, the Formula E project, but again, our president mentioned before, allowed us to be present in sports magazine, newspapers, so a different kind of very universal way of reaching a broader population. On the left, you see something that makes us very proud, which is the efforts we made in digital and in particular in social media. As you can see, we launched, as you may know, because we underlined it very clearly during the presentation of our strategic plan back in November in Milan. On Instagram was heavily used for a campaign in Italy in October and November, and we managed to increase 30% the number of followers to our Instagram account in those months. And we also were very active in the posting, and we basically elicited a lot of engagement through our clients, and with an engagement rate which is quite interesting. In Facebook, we have 1.5 million followers, and here too, we managed to be very active in the posting, very active in the discussion and the two-way conversation with our clients. We see these signs as, this is just, of course, the beginning, but we see these signs as a very interesting one and very, very, very consistent with the strategies we outlined in our strategic plan. And now I'll pass it on to Livio, that will comment more in depth about the income statement.
Thank you, Matteo. Livio Librelesso speaking. Let's turn to page nine to comment on income statement figures. Sales landed at 827 million, as widely commented by Matteo. Gross margin increased. It's slightly better than expected, reaching 50% on sales. The improvement of 170 basis points is mainly related to specific measures on supply chain efficiency, more than 100 basis points, and to the channel mix with a higher weight of retail sales, which have a higher gross margin. Selling and distribution delivered a slight decrease compared with last year following the top line. G&A trend shows an increase of 8 million. This is totally related to the increased perimeter of DOS due to the net openings and conversion. All the other G&A are under strict control with no material impact on the P&L compared with last year. A&P increased by euro 4 million with a total of 27 million. This increase is due to the efforts to support sales and the brand image. The group, in any case, is also increasing marketing expenses in COP advertising and performance and digital marketing relating to web. These expenses amount to 7 million and have been actually included in G&A, being considered the commercial contribution and services. EBITDA adjusted at 48 million euro, defining a margin of 5.8% on sales, slightly better than expected. EBIT adjusted was 50 million. In 2018, the group recorded special items for a total of 9.8 million related to the store network optimization, to the support to the franchising chain, and to the organizational review induced by the new business plan. Income taxes at euro 5.9 million. It is a little bit misleading. It is important to underline that the group did not recognize approximately 1.7 million of deferred tax assets for certain loss-making subsidiaries abroad, which currently do not show signs of a fast recovery. In addition, this amount include also an amount regarding the settlement of a dispute with the Italian tax authorities concerning previous years. Finally, net result was a loss of 5 million. Net result adjusted for special item would have been positive at euro 2 million. Please turn to the summary balance sheet on page 10. Balance sheet is very solid and healthy. Net equity amounts to 341 million euro, and it is substantially equal to the invested capital. As a consequence, the net financial position is positive at euro 2.3 million, and this is mainly driven by working capital decrease and by a positive fair value adjustment of derivative contracts. Let's go straight to the following page to comment on working capital. Operating working capital as a percentage of sales is equal to 25.3% compared to 25.6% in 2017 and 28% in 2016. This positive change is mainly due to the good performance of receivables in line with the sales trend in wholesale and franchising, and payables, thanks to the implementation of an international vendor financing program that allowed the group to obtain better payment condition from suppliers. These positive elements have more than compensated the increase in inventories due to the performances of the DOS chain that has been slightly negative compared with the assumption that it should have been slightly positive in terms of, and consequently, we have bought a little bit too much inventories. We plan to be able to solve this excess of inventories during 2019 with no material impact on the profitability of the company. Moving on to page 12, there is the cash flow statement. Let me describe the highlights. The loss of 5 million impacted the amount of funds from operation that landed at 29 million from the 59 million of 2017. The working capital generated 7 million of cash. Capital expenditures absorbed 37 million, 6 million more than 2017, out of which 21 million have been devoted for G-Shop's new opening and restyling for the new X store concept, 7 million in information technology to support the new project regarding the omni-channel strategy, 2 million in logistic to have an integrated logistic across the channels. After this CapEx, the free cash flow stood at minus 5.7 million. In addition, in May 2018, the company paid 15 million for dividends. Consequently, the change in the net financial position is negative in the region of 21 million. In any case, at the end, including the fair value of derivatives for a total of 9 million, the net financial position is positive as well at 2.3 million. Let me now hand over to the CEO for the outlook regarding 2019.
We are now on page 13, so we'll start by talking about wholesale. As we mentioned before, we are all aware of the reduction in the initial orders by minus 9.1% in spring-summer 19 versus spring-summer 18. We are still shooting to increase the marginality. We have a sound goal of increased marginality for 2018, thanks to many initiatives in the supply chain. But we're also targeting, as we mentioned before, by cleaning up the portfolio and operating with better and more qualified partners, we are aiming at achieving decrease of marginality due to commercial conditions, particularly after the fact. We are now, of course, facing a fall winter season right now with a sales campaign which will last on average approximately 4 to 6 weeks, depending on the margin. And some of the choices we made, and we mentioned many times through spring-summer 19 about cleaning up our distribution will partially still impact for winter as well. We expect the total of 2019 in wholesale to be adversely impacted by a lower degree compared to what happened in 2018. And most importantly, we're really striving to preserve as much as possible and improve marginality. This is, of course, still subject to completing the collection of fall winter 19 initial orders. About our monobrand stores, we said it many times, we have a rather pragmatic stance in terms of how we see our US and franchisee network. We still think there's a host of potential there, but we will still continue to selectively target low-performing stores, particularly the ones that can no longer represent properly the brand, where the market potential is no longer there. And those we will still target to close as much as we will target to open when selective good opportunity arise. We think overall 2019 will be the year in which this rationalization basically it is completed, and we expect to have a better net openings ratio compared to the year before. Let's discuss very quickly about what we have observed so far in January and February in our own US. We are pleased to to report a slightly positive result for the year so far. Clearly, there's an important impact by online, which is performing very, very satisfactorily, very strong double-digit result compared to last year. We are now moving toward the month of March, which we know are very weak comparables last year, so we are quite upbeat and positive about continuing this positive trend. We said it many times through the discussion about the strategic plan. 2019 is still a year in which a lot of our actions are gradually gaining traction. We expect the same thing to be true for the U.S. through the year. So looking forward to more positive signs through the year. We'll continue to revamp the network because we need to make the image in line and the selling and the shopping experience of our clients in sync with our new communication and with our improved product lines. That will be about windows, that will be about making the stores into X concepts when we can, but also about acting on the in-store visuals to make them more appealing and more conducive to a better shopping experience. Lidio mentioned before the critical investments in IT. We think this is absolutely critical to achieve a true omnichannel operating model and to make the most of our inventory. So we will certainly push the gas on that as well and continue investing. We still remain a very lean and fiscally disciplined organization. In particular, I'm confirming that we are through this critical project with the Boston Consulting Group, which is advising us as we speak about how to have the proper organization and operating processes aligned and consistent with the goals of our strategic plan. And we have a great expectation about that as well. And we will continue in 2019 to implement also already started initiatives to improve marginality and improve operating costs reduction. We mentioned many times the e-commerce channel. We converted in July of last year Europe, the most critical mass of 22 European countries. We are targeting the same for North America to happen before mid of the year, and we are making good progress toward that. And we're impacting also our Chinese operation with the replacement of a mid layer and the better cooperation with platforms we are using right now, Tmall and Jingdong. Our communication, I hope some of you or most of you should have seen our new Spring-Summer 19 campaign, which truly brings our digital communication effort to the next level. It's truly a campaign shot entirely, not a single model, not a single in-studio picture, all influencers. It's all about storytelling, all shot in videos and not in single frames. And you should have seen it online, and you should have seen it on social social media platforms, you should have seen it also in its out-of-home formats. We took over basically Milan in Fashion Week. I hope some of you based there noticed that. So what does it leave us? I think we are still facing very tough market conditions. We know about that. We know this is going to be headwinds are going to be there for 2019. We are very confident that all the actions we started and we're still strongly pursuing will give us an edge. We will start focusing more also in terms of planning and forecasting our business going forward. We think that the business model slight changes will probably make the initial order of sale not particularly critical anymore as an indicator and a proxy for our business overall. We look much more at our brand network and look much more at performances of our partners as well in terms of sell-out. As we said before, we know 2013 is still for us a transition year. We do hope and we do expect slightly better results than the year before as all of our initiatives are gaining more traction. I think basically at this stage, so early into the year, this is all we are ready to elaborate on 2019. I guess this brings us to the conclusion of this presentation. Of course, we are completely at your disposal to answer any question you may have. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. We ask you to please pick up the receiver when asking questions. The first question is from Mr. Fabio Fazzari of Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good evening. I have a couple of questions. The first one is about the full price sales as a percentage of total sales in the full year 18 and in particular in the Q4, and the average level of the discount in the full year 18, and also if you have maybe a target for 19 on these 2 points. And the second one is if you can give us more color about the U.S., which kind of improvement you are seeing month by month and where, and what do you expect for 19 in this country. Thank you.
Okay. So, full price sales in full year 18. For sure, the year is not has not been so healthy in terms of full price performances, also due to the fact that most of the brands, let's say, increased a little bit the discounts in order to prevent the excessive inventory that has been forecasted, having had March and September very, very low. As far as Geox is concerned, fortunately, our average sales discount has been in line with last year. And in Q4, we did not incur any major promotional activities, and consequently, let's say that the discount is in line with last year, also in 2018. As far as 2019 is concerned, we would like to reduce a little bit the discount pressure. For the time being, we are seeing improvement, especially in the e-commerce, where we are able to increase the like for like with no increase in the discount in the spring summer season. The early beginning of the spring summer season is positive for us. We've been able to implement a more transitional approach from winter to summer, and consequently, and the start of the spring summer season is positive. Consequently, the weight of the full price in 2019 is a little bit better than last year. So I don't see any material impact regarding the discount policy for our DOS network.
I'll take it over for the U.S. And give you maybe a little bit of a larger picture of what we're trying to do. We changed, as we mentioned, the leadership in the U.S. approximately 6 months ago. We are aware, we reckon that we need a bit to reconstruct the market, not from scratch, but let's say reworking the relationship with key accounts in terms of wholesale and restarting from a healthy basis of retail. So as we mentioned before, we closed some underperforming stores. We trimmed the network down to a core of stores which we think are critical in the full price and in the outlet area to start rebuilding the retail presence. And as a matter of fact, we have started recontacting all of our original traditional clients in wholesale. Clearly, the U.S. in terms of retailers are experiencing the same kind of hardship as Europe, so department stores are more in a mood to reduce their brand portfolio than to open it up and increase it again. So I think it's particularly interesting to note that we have been able to reopen key accounts such as Bloomingdale's or Zappos, strengthen the relationship with Nordstrom, and we are also reopening a more intensive distribution through agents across the country to reach out to normal accounts that we have a bit lost focus on in the past few years. One interesting thing to be noticed is we're not particularly capillary distributed in the US, but if you look at the data from our website, the one we will soon run ourselves, there's an important presence of sales in other California where we are basically not distributed. Also, that makes us quite confident we can rebuild the presence in the country for sale, and then when that also helped, if you remember, our sponsorship, our title sponsorship with Jerks Dragon is a partnership with the Penske Group, particularly Penske Media Group, and as a part of that, as we said, there's a substantial component of media we will spend in North America on the titles and the websites of Penske Media, such as Rolling Stones or Variety, Rob Report, WWD. So we are using this combined effort between media effort, digital and offline, and fostering the partnership with key clients. And this is where we will restart our presence in the US. We are mindful it's a bit of a long way, but we think it's really a very quality-oriented way to approach this market.
Thank you.
The next question is from Marco Baccaglio of Kepler. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you. I have two questions. The first one is your final results looks relatively different from the guidance you had given, a 5% margin. So I wanted just to understand whether these better results was coming from maybe some costs which were postponed or some structural improvement in the profitability of a business that you have seen probably at this point in the second part of the fourth quarter. And the second one is just to understand how the gross margin could move in 2019. You have said about that you are trying to lower the discounts, but what about the foreign exchange rates trend? Thank you.
Our guidance was in the region of 5%. We were at the beginning of November, and so after a tough September with a double-digit decrease in like-for-like, we assumed a sort of flat like-for-like in our DOS network. So we have been positively surprised by a positive November and also a positive December, mid-single, full price, and consequently, fortunately, we are seeing early signs of an improvement in the product and in the, let's say, execution of the retail excellence. And also, and these early signs also have continued in January and February, where we are still positive. In addition, obviously, we have taken some additional cost control and consequently also some improvement derived from a tighter cost cutting. But the most of the improvement is totally due to the better like-for-like than the assumption. As far as the gross margin, for 2019, our assumption is that the gross margin expansion will also continue in 2019. Spring-summer 19 backlog confirms this, and also the, let's say, the pricing of fall-winter 19 is in this direction. So what we have to wait for is just to see if the mix of the orders collected will be in line with the expectation or not. But in any case, we expect to be able to deliver gross margin expansion in the region of 100 basis points.
Thank you.
The next question is from Emanuela Mazzoni of Intermonte. Please go ahead, madam.
Yeah, thanks. My first question is on a clarification on your comments on the US performance in January and February. Is this positive, slightly positive performance in terms of total sales, not like for like? Is it correct? And then just on, you mentioned that March last year was very poor. So could you just help us understand how bad was last year to try to calculate to what might be the reversal this year? And then on gross margin, we got your guidance on full year. Is it fair to assume the expansion in first half 19 should be even higher than this 100 basis point guidance you are pointing at for the full year 19? And then the final question is on China, because I'm not sure I understood correctly. You mentioned that you are going to internalize your online channel in China during 2019.
About the trend in retail sales for the beginning of the year, no, what I mentioned are, of course, like-for-like. So the slight increase, which improved all through February as well, and is actually improving even further in this first day of the retail calendar, March, is like-for-like. March last year was really seriously down in double digits, so was around minus 20%. So that's why I mentioned before, but we hope the weaker comps will help us solidifying the growth we have seen so far. And we're still, of course, talking about like for like, and you're correct in probably assuming implicitly we will have a little bit of a positive perimeter impact. Do you want to comment about?
Yes, so we assume the same percentage of both in spring summer and in fall winter. So 100 basis points per semester and 100 basis points as a total year.
About China, what I was mentioning before was in China, I really have no knowledge of European brands being successful in implementing a direct platform to consumer, even very successful pure online retail player did not succeed, because basically what you need to go through in China is you need to recon and deal with the super successful platform they have. What we've done in China in the past was being present on Tmall and JD, with some stores run by them, fueled by us, with a mid-layer ATP partner, which is the traditional way of approaching China. We're not thinking of opening our own platform direct to consumer, because that has never proved to be successful. What we're doing is we're replacing now the ATP, and we are building a much stronger integration between our own logistics, our own merchandising, and the one of ATP, and the one of the platforms, and supporting with better assets the platform themselves, so better digital, better pictures, better display. So we're improving and optimizing in a very strong way, and replacing a mid layer in order to make the entire chain more efficient, but we're not planning on internalizing it completely, okay, because that's not really how business works in China online. Did we answer all of your questions, or we forgot a piece?
No.
That's
okay.
Thanks.
Thank
you.
Thanks.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question comes from Mr. Giuseppe Marcella of Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, everybody. I have a quick question on the apparel business. I don't know the profitability yet in 2018, but what do you see as a sort of reasonable target in terms of profitability looking forward, absolute or relative to footwear? Thank you.
Our target is to have more or less the same profitability in terms of gross margin, both in apparel and in footwear. So let's say there is no material differences. As a matter of fact, what Matteo said is that in our DOS chain, apparel performed well during 2018. So the fact that you see the total top line of the apparel is due to the fact that apparel as footwear has been impacted by the rationalization of franchising and by the approach of quality over quantity regarding the wholesale. But in our DOS, apparel is growing, so we will put a lot of, we'll pay a lot of attention to better exploit the potential of this product line. And also during the fall winter collection, order initial order collection, we are seeing first positive signs also in the wholesale channel regarding the apparel. So I would say that the investment Geox did in design and in the rationalization of the collection are starting to deliver early results.
Thank you, Livio. Can you please anticipate the EBIT posted in apparel in 2018? This is usually something highlighted in the full year document.
Usually we do not, let's say, disclose the real EBIT regarding apparel. What you will see is the segment information regarding IAS, but I would say that it is not so meaningful due to the fact that it is a full cost profitability. Consequently, it just absorbs also a part of general expenses based on the total turnover. So, in my opinion, the real important information regarding profitability of the apparel is the gross margin, and for the rest, it's just an absorption of general costs. So gross margin is absolutely in line with the footwear.
So we thank you very much for joining us. We hope we managed to give you some additional insights on our performance in 2018 and answer some additional questions. So we thank you very much. Good night.